Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nurton, the Marx editor. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about the Marx Corporate Focus Group, which provides a dedicated forum for corporate in-house practitioners to share experiences and discuss issues of mutual interest. The group meets both in person and online, and the members include representatives from various industry sectors and different regions. And as well as providing a forum for discussion, the Corporate Focus Group acts as a conduit of ideas to the Marx teams and often directly inspires other Marx activities, publications, and events. So I'm joined today by the co-chairs of the group, Nicholas Foote, Head Legal Brand Protection at Sandoz International, and Diverke van der Schelk, Global Trademarks Manager for Jacobsdauer Egberts. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Nick, maybe we can start with you. I gave a very brief summary of the Corporate Focus Group just now, but can you tell us a little bit more about what it is and what it does?
Sure. The Corporate Focus Group was set up to enable corporate members to learn collaboratively from each other and really focus in on key issues impacting in-house brand professionals. So really a range of topics that we focus on, James, including how to build your in-house trademark team, how to develop their professional skill sets, looking at establishing best practices within your organization, staying ahead of the curve by spotting issues and strategizing to deal with emerging trends, such as how to protect brands in Web 3.0, for example. We also use the Corporate Focus Group as a forum to talk about common challenges faced by in-house counsel, and also how we as brand professionals can leverage technology to drive efficiency and reduce cost. And of course, what's critically important is it is a great opportunity to network with an organization.
And how many people take part in the group, and how often do you meet?
It's around 60 people, and we have four meetings a year. One is in person at corporate breakfast at the annual conference, and that's our one in-person event per year. Then we have three virtual sessions, and what we do with those sessions is talk about topics of mutual interest to corporate members, and we have a couple of corporate members lead each of those sessions with a short presentation. The whole idea is to encourage discussion so that we can learn from each other.
Great, thank you. And Dee, what are the benefits for a corporate in-house counsel of being part of the group?
Oh, I think there's many benefits. For the people who join for the first time, I think it's sort of a relief that you find others that face exactly the same issues as you do. You can actually talk to other people in the same situation without actually talking to someone who's trying to sell you something or wants something out of it, but really see how other in-house people are dealing with the similar problems. And it's you always see that it's a relief almost for them to see that happening.
That's great. And are there obviously, people come from different perspectives, don't they? Different industries, different regions. I mean, do you find that you can sort of learn and share experiences and learn from people with those different perspectives?
Yeah, for sure. You can. And sometimes you don't experience in a certain area of business problems, but because you hear about it within this group, when it does occur, you suddenly know how to act and you can move a lot faster because you sort of know that other people have experience with it and you've heard of how they handle it. So yeah, even if there's not people in the same business area, there is a lot to learn from each other anyway.
Yeah. And I guess that covers both the kind of more kind of legal technical issues, but also practical issues about how you manage a department, how you manage a budget, all those kind of things.
Yeah. And I think that's over the years, what we've always seen come back is in many companies, the legal department and IP department are often seen as a cost department. And all of us at some point had to really argue within the company that we are beneficial, that, you know, we're there for a reason and not just costs. I think that topic comes back often on how you fight for your budget and fight for your reputation and everything within the business. So, yeah, and then, of course, there's the structure of how you build your team, and there's a wide variation of ways it is done within the corporate group. Large departments and very small departments. So also there you can really learn from each other.
So Nick, you touched a little bit on this already, and Dee said a bit as well, but can you say a little bit more about some of the issues that and the topics that the group has discussed in the past, and maybe some of the ones that you're looking at now and in the future as well?
Yeah, sure, James. One of the big talking points in the group to date has been about effective communication. And that's not just in doing your enforcement work or other work with external counsel, but it's more about how you effectively communicate the value add that in-house brand professionals bring within a company. I think all of us have had challenges and struggles with that, but I think that's been a topic of a lot of discussion, because we all recognize that it's becoming increasingly important to be able to tell the story about what you bring to the table in terms of support for the business. And I think the other one that Dee's already touched on is digitization and the way that technology is rapidly changing the playbook. We are all facing a huge transition into the digital world. And what does that mean for you as an in-house brand professional? How do you protect your brands online? And also, you know, how can you use digitization internally to enhance efficiencies, cut costs? All of these things are front and center of a lot of people's minds. And I think what we've been doing, and increasingly so, is looking at how that's impacting our work.
Yeah, and I'm sure that in particular is something that's affecting everyone in-house throughout the world at the moment. And Dee, are there any other particular issues that you would identify that either the group is tackling or that you'd like to see the group look at in the future?
The way it was explained now is that the corporate group also gives the teams input. But I think it's sometimes it also works the other way around, where the teams actually flag something that might not be on everybody's radar of the corporate focus group. And then we get something to learn about and to actually think about, so that the teams can go further on it. I do think, as Nick said, that the digital world is probably where the most changes are and where it is most challenging. So in all aspects there, that we are going to have our focus, and I would like to be the focus on.
Interesting. Yeah. And Dee, do you think those kind of challenges have increased since the pandemic and the lockdowns, you know, the shift to digital technology, podcasts like this and you know, online commerce and so on, has that changed the challenges that you face?
I think it was already there. I think the pandemic caused some things to progress even faster, some very beneficial, some not. I don't know if Nick recognizes this, but I think that the opportunity for in-house people to travel is gone down because everything can be done online, which is sometimes not making it easier for us. Mm-hmm. as I think a face-to-face meeting is sometimes a bit more effective than that you do trainings online and you see people just doing their emails.
Yes.
This is actually what we're going to talk about in the next breakfast session at the annual meeting, is how to train people in-house. So it will be interesting to see what we learn there.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Could you say a little bit more about that? Because some of our listeners may be thinking of attending that.
Yes. So we have two of our people in our group have prepared a presentation on the training and all the different aspects. And I think what they really want is that we have a sort of benchmarking and that we can have best practices of what other people do in their teams to do effective training. We see marketeers leave very quickly, so you can invest a lot of time and money in it, but you have to do it again and again. And I think we're going to see that coming out of that session, and we hope that we can then also work with the education team and see if what they can do for us in that aspect as well. So I have high hopes for what comes out of that session.
Yeah, thanks, Dee. That sounds very relevant indeed. I wonder, maybe Nick, if you could just give us an idea for somebody who's maybe attending the corporate focus group for the first time, if they join one of the sessions either online or at the annual conference, what could they expect? Would it be a sort of informal discussion or more formal presentations or a mixture of both?
Yeah, thanks, James. Good question. I think we've done in terms of format is have two members of the corporate focus group lead the discussion. And we work on the basis of less is more. In other words, getting a couple of slides to frame the discussion, provoke the discussion, and then of course it's open to every single participant to contribute. And we would encourage anyone who participates to actively participate, because we would like to hear their experiences and what they've done in relation to certain issues. I think that's the value of the group. And I think what new participants will find is it's a very informal setting. We encourage each other to speak up and exchange ideas.
So people should come along with their ideas and then not be too shy about sharing them within reason.
Yeah, and also come along with an open mind, but also be curious, because I think you learn a lot from, thinking, I've had that issue. I wasn't sure which way to run on that. Maybe I can learn something from somebody else in the room. So from that perspective, I think, approach it with an open mind.
Good, thanks. And Dee, how would you like to see the group develop in the future? Do you have any plans for new things or new topics for the group?
People will get more at ease the more often we do this. So, and I think maybe it's also good to explain that when we have the sessions, we actually break down in little groups and talk amongst a small group, and then we present back to the group the findings. So it's not like you have to talk for a really big group of people in a meeting like that. And we also already see that happening, is that people know what they can expect and they're eager to hear what other people are doing and to explain what they are doing if they have a really good way of working or idea. So I think that will only grow. And it's really up to the group to indicate where we want to develop and where we want to learn or focus on. So we can focus on what's beneficial for the in-house people, for the corporate members. Yes.
Good. Thank you. And finally, if people are interested in joining the group, what should they do? How can they find out more, Nick?
The details are on the website, James. Obviously, also what we can do is reach out to either Dee or myself, happy to answer any questions. And of course, you can always reach out to Ingrid de Groot, who has all the details and, in fact, is a very strong advocate of the group.
Yeah, and Ingrid's contact details are on the Marks website. Ingrid's the internal relations officer, and she can put you in touch, can't she, with all the right people. Good. Okay. Is there anything else either of you would like to add before we wrap up? I think we've covered quite a lot. It sounds like the group's going really well. I'm sure you're looking forward to meeting in Berlin. Guess you'll have a good breakfast in Berlin as well.
Yeah, well, there's always hope as long as there's decent, strong coffee, which I think is dear, my only requirement, right, Dee?
Exactly. It's early in the morning, and of course, we probably had a good night before. But I think we all really want to be there. So, yes, some coffee and a good talk will be great.
Yeah, and I would say to anyone thinking of joining, come along. You know, it's a great way to learn new skills, develop your professional network, but also really help maximize your Marks membership.
Yeah, and of course, Marks is at heart an association of brand owners, isn't it? And obviously the corporate members are absolutely critical to the development and success of Marks. So this is a great way for corporate members to be involved. Thank you very much to Nick and Dee for joining today's podcast. And thanks to everyone for listening. If you are a corporate in-house counsel and you're a Marks member, do consider joining the group, as Nick and Dee said. You can contact Ingrid via the Marks website, and you can also see the dates, I think, of all the upcoming meetings on the Marks website. That's the breakfast meeting at the annual conference and then the online meetings during the rest of the year. And in fact, I think this is our last Talking Marks podcast before the annual conference in Berlin. So we look forward to seeing everyone there. Hope everyone has safe travels to Berlin. If you do see us, please do let me know what you think of Talking Marks. And of course, we will have another episode of the podcast broadcast later on this year. But from now, from all of us, it's goodbye.
Sure. Thank you very much, James. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, James. Good to chat.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.